Hello and welcome to Ghost Beans! A horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
We watched Aliens from 1986. That is still just such a fucking funny naming convention.
I think it's the best.
I just can't believe they actually went for it. They're like, who was sitting in a boardroom like, all right, we're making the sequel to Alien. What are we going to call it? Aliens.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
But it is, it's interesting because, the original came out in 79, so I guess it was 7 years later, and they brought in James Cameron to direct this, and this is off of Terminator for him. So this is like pretty early in his career too, just like it was with Ridley Scott. And I think like this is one of the things that's so fascinating about these movies is that it's like the same world, you know, the same universe or whatever, but they're such different movies because the first one is like so dark and moody and scary, and the second one is like this big blockbuster action movie. And normally you could look at that and be like, oh, what a fucking sellout, like that sucks, but it's like, no, this movie rocks. Yeah. Like it I actually am really here for the fact that they decided to take such a different swing at it. It's like, it's fucking iconic, mm-hmm. You know, at this point. And it is interesting. I think most people who are fans of these movies kind of keep both of these movies on like the same pedestal, you know, like they're so different, but quality wise, they are so similar. And, you know, for me, we went into this more in the Alien episode, but this was like a huge part of my childhood. My dad introduced these to me when I was like 6 or 7, way too young. But back then, it's like, I thought this movie fucking rocked ass. Like, this movie was so fucking awesome.
Rocked ass. Hell yeah. Heirs of Grease.
Yes. And we talked about this while we were watching it, but like, I mean, I remember being in elementary school and all my friends and I, like, this is the movie we would, like, emulate all the time. We would act like we were fucking Space Marines. We had all the action figures and everything. And it's like, yeah, nowadays, like, everyone is, like, so fucking wimpy. Like, we don't have shit like this anymore. I actually feel bad for you. You didn't have this kind of childhood. Because no. this was your first time watching this, right?
Oh, yeah. Aliens, yes. Completely yeah. New to it.
Yeah, that's crazy. But this, yeah, I think when I was younger, this was the one. I think now that I'm older, I appreciate the first one more. But this one is still, it's still a really fucking cool movie. Like, there's no question.
Yeah, I will say, on the surface, this movie shouldn't interest me as much as it has.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, with, like, the kind of films that I was watching and I was into, if I were to hear the plot of this movie, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But watching it, it might be, like, the first, like, kind of, like, action sci-fi movie that I, like, actually like. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like, it is funny how it's like super fucking hoorah and like, you know, like all the Marines are like so over the top masculine and badass and shit. Yeah. Which, yeah, when I was a kid was like iconic. It was like, I wanted to be that shit. It probably fed my desire to join the military when I was younger, which thank God I never did.
Yeah, please, thank God you never did.
But yeah, they make all that shit super cool. And I kept having to point out to you, like, this was in the 80s when this came out. Like, this influenced so much shit. Like, yeah. So many movies and video games and everything. It's just, it's crazy how influential it was. And it really was, like, an inspired idea to take this, like, dark and brooding horror concept with Alien and be like, let's blow this shit up. Let's make it into a big action movie, and having this thing at the heart of it, which, like, the aliens themselves are still, like, really fucking scary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every part of, like, how they're this, like, parasitic life form that turns into these, like, brutal, scary aliens. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, like, the fact that they just got that title, they're just like, Alien. It's like, man. Very lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. And so iconic. Can you imagine... Yeah. If this was called Alien, and obviously Aliens, but they both sucked.
Like, yeah. Like, they ruined that shit. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, without spoiling anything yet, it is like, it's a cool setup for the story, which I think when I was a kid, I mean, the thing that I focused on was just like, yeah, they're shooting the shit out of aliens and trying to survive. And I think now as an adult, the opening parts and the setup for the story work a lot better for me. And I think it has like a really cool, really smart setup. But it's the idea that, you know, it picks up right after the first, well, picks up like 57 years after the first one. But for Ripley, it's like right after, because yeah, they recovered her floating through space.
Yeah, it's really seamless.
Yeah.
Like, I have to really give it to this as a sequel that it is not common that you like seamlessly go into a sequel like this, and it is very impressive.
Oh yeah, it jumps right into it. And it's the idea that like I think it's interesting to think that like you can go through something like so awful and traumatic, and they really play up that, like, you know, she definitely is suffering from PTSD after what she went through, and it's something that's like, how do you deal with that? It's not like there's therapy for like, oh, you encountered an alien life form that killed all your crewmates. Like, this is how we treat that. It's like, no one even believes her.
Yeah.
But I like that they really play up the trauma and, you know, her mental state, like how she's dealing with it. And the idea that she has to try and explain this shit to like these corporate people who just don't believe her at all.
Yeah, they just think she's crazy.
Yeah. But then it's that revelation that, because she's saying they need to like send somebody there and like check up on this, and they're like, well, there's already a colony of people there. And that like mic drop moment of realizing there's all these eggs on that ship and there's like a whole human colony like not far from it.
Yeah, you can like, you can see in her face that her like heart drops into her ass when she hears that. She's like, oh god.
And it's a cool setup to think about how, I mean, right away your imagination can already picture like how this could go really bad.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happens. But it's that corporate layer, and like just seeing her like existing in this apartment, you know, because at the end of the day, she's not, even though she's become this iconic, heroic horror character, I mean, she was like a space trucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when everything's said and done, she's just trying to figure out like, okay, what's next in my life, just me and my cat Jonesy.
Yeah.
Like the other survivor from the first movie.
Love that cat so much.
Yeah. And yeah, she kind of gets swept up in this, partly from her own, because at first she really does not want to go back. Because I mean, after you've been through something like that and escape from it, it's like, that's the last thing you want to do. But she does seem to have some kind of compassion for the fact that no one is taking this seriously.
Yeah. That character has like the biggest heart too, which I also really love.
We did talk about, I mean, this is one of those things that's been explored to death, but she is like, part of what makes her such an iconic female hero is that like they don't play up this whole girl power angle to it. Yeah. Like, she is such a like regular grounded person who just also happens to be tough as shit.
Yeah.
And they still show her like vulnerability and her fear and everything, but she like overcomes it and still shows the strength, and that's like so much more impactful than if she was just like some stone-faced like badass lady hero, you know.
Yeah, I have to give it just it, even in the first one and this one, that like they really kind of broke outside the binary in a really amazing, very cool way, especially for the time. So I'm a huge fan.
And yeah, the setup that like they're sending her down there with this crew of Marines who are also not taking it seriously at all. And just, they're like full of all this bravado and shit. There is that cool scene early on when she uses the power loader, which you later called Chekhov's power loader, which is like perfect.
Yeah.
That's still cool to show like how capable that she is, you know?
Yeah. I'll say when they introduced that, I honestly didn't even think about it being used again because it was already just cool. Like, she could handle her own, and I thought that that was the whole point of it. But no, I don't want to spoil, I guess.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, this holds up. Again, it's a movie that, like, pretty much everyone has seen except for you, apparently. But, I mean, you still really liked it, though, right?
It still holds up. I think, oh my God, I loved it so much.
I think all the stuff we said about the original Alien is still true here, where all the art design and stuff and the set design, none of it feels dated. The special effects still hold up and everything. Even though I think there's more like blue screen stuff in this and like miniatures that show their age a bit, but they still, like, there's something about all of that that still just works and still looks really cool, you know. And yeah, it's still just, it's such a fucking fun movie. Mm-hmm. And it still has like some scary parts, even if the, even if overall it's more like over the top and like a big Hollywood blockbuster type thing.
Yeah.
It still can get kind of scary at times. But why don't we just get in the spoilers so we can really just talk about it. Not that there's a lot to spoil, since this is like, it's permeated pop culture so much at this point. It's like, what do you spoil about this, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like I really went back to being a child. Like all the stuff early on with the Marines when they're like fucking coming out of cryo sleep and they're all like acting badass and shit, and then they're like gearing up and you got the drums and everything as they're heading in, like all that stuff is just, that was like the coolest shit ever back in the day, and it's still fucking cool now.
It actually, it's funny because I don't remember exactly what movie it was that we were talking about on the podcast, but we were kind of talking about how, like, you know, like, I don't really care about, you know, military police stuff really that much. Like, it's not something that I get excited for in a movie, and usually, honestly, it can take away from the movie, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
But this is done in such a weird, futuristic, but still somehow topical way. Like,
it, yeah,
it's so the what is the I guess the general's name,
or Apone, man. I know like every character, all this. I had the Apone action figure, like, come on.
He is so cool, he's so camp, and I just, I'm a huge fan of, you know, guy with a cigar and you know, shouting orders. Like, I love that.
I mean, he's become like this cliche military character that you see. I mean, in Halo, there's a character that just is Apone, basically. the influence is crazy. And seeing where James Cameron went after this with like Terminator 2 and Avatar and shit, like he really mastered that big budget, crazy action movie. And I'm someone, as I get older, like, honestly, I'm not that into action movies anymore. There's something about them now that just feels like, it's like at a certain point, it just feels like it's hammering my brain, and it just gets like really monotonous and boring after a while.
That's,
you know,
kind of been my view all along.
Yeah.
I've never really been an action girly.
Yeah. But this one is still so fun, and it the way it like changes things up constantly too. Because, you know, in the beginning, when they're first going in, there's like such a great mood where everyone's like I said, they got that bravado and shit. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they step foot in the facility and it's like dead silent, you can see like the fear kind of creeping in as they're realizing like, okay, something happened here. And the way they're like slowly creeping through the place, and it leads all the way up to them going into the hive, which, I mean, it looks like they're going into like an ant nest or something, like the way all the shit's on the walls and everything.
That, the way they portrayed that was just, it holds up so well. And it's still, it's like still ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's how many years later? Like,
this is 86, so it's like, oh God, it's like 40 years. This is like almost as old as me. Fuck. Yeah,
it's insane. The design was just so impressive, and it just, it blew my mind. Like, what are we doing? Where is this? Why aren't we getting more of this? Like, I'm blown away by it.
I mean, it's the perfect buildup because you don't even see the aliens for a while. You see the facehuggers like in the tanks,
which is also so cool.
Which, and but it's also kind of funny that it's like, this is a world where I guess they didn't know aliens existed. And when they find them on the tanks, they're all kind of like, oh, look at these. They're weird. I think this one's trying to kiss you. You know, it's like, I think I'd be a little more freaked out.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess also, you know, it doesn't really, it doesn't set them up for like the actual danger they're in when it's just these weird spider things in a tank, you know.
Well, meanwhile, Ripley is having like panic attacks.
Yeah, she's having like flashbacks.
Yeah.
But you just, you know where it's going, and that, yeah, the build up as they're going into the nest, and it's just getting worse and worse, and it's like, you know, they're going like into the like literal hornet's nest, you know, And when and it's a perfect setup, because then it's the realization that like they can't fire their weapons or they'll blow up the whole facility. And then you see the aliens start moving around like they're in the walls and everything, you know. It's so cool. And like even the technology, we were saying, like, I don't think at the time they had like cameras mounted on their helmets.
No.
And, you know, the screens monitoring everything. Yeah. And like that was so ahead of its time, and it just creates this perfect scene that, again, I think has been emulated so many times since then.
Yeah, everything, like all the technology still like holds up. It's still believable. We're back to chunky buttons, and you know, it's just, it's good.
Yeah, and it's just the whole progression of the movie, like the way things just go to shit in there and Ripley has to go in and rescue them and pull them out, and then it just shifts the tone completely, because then they're just like trying to survive at that point. Oh, you know, these badass Marines who seem to be in total control are now like, we just need to get the fuck out of here, you know.
Yeah, things went to shit like really quick.
and there are definitely like a lot of iconic things, like Bishop the android is like he's a really cool character, because coming off of the first one with Ash, the fact that they decided to kind of turn things on its head, where Ripley is initially like, there's a fucking android, you know, because that's part of her trauma, is the android trying to kill her, and having to convince her that like, no, it's a good one. It's actually got her back, you know? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, they like portray that she's like racist.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She basically is like robo racist. Yeah. But the way that he's like, just so calm and gentle, and like manages to convince her that like, hey, I'm a good one, it's okay.
He looks like so creepy and so unsettling, but like obviously he's very sweet, but that is also so cool.
I think this definitely kind of catapulted Lance Henriksen's career too, because he became like a horror icon after this as well. But yeah, his acting is fantastic, you know. The way he portrays the android, where it I don't know what kind of makeup they use. Like, his skin almost looks plastic. Like, it's so weird. And he's like, he's got this very cold and expressionless way of acting, while also seeming like kind of sarcastic and like silly at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's an interesting mix.
And it's very different from Ash, who's just like pissed off and rolling his eyes all the time at Ripley, you know? It's so funny.
That's enough to give you PTSD.
Yeah, and there's just so many iconic characters. We talked about Apone. There's also like Hicks, who I always thought was like the fucking badass. He's the one that's Hicks D, and you had a whole tangent about is his name Dix? but yeah, now you know, he pulls out his shotgun for close encounters. Like, he's just fucking badass as hell. And then you got Hudson. He's the one who like freaks out. Like, he comes off as a badass, and then he's like losing his fucking shit the whole time after that. Yeah, it's so many like archetypes that started with this movie that we've just see repeated over and over again, you know.
Yeah, was Hudson the one that had like love interest in?
Who was that? Was Hicks. Hudson is game over, man. That's Hudson. I mean, it's God. What's the actor's name?
Yeah.
Bill Paxton, rest in peace.
Oh.
You know, and also the another part that like works a lot more now is the like the corporate character.
Oh yeah,
Paul Reiser.
Oh yeah, that evil little shit.
Yeah, and just the way that like Ripley, it's scary watching it now, how like when she turns on him and is like, I'm gonna fucking reveal all this shit, because he was trying to make money off this whole thing. Like, he had this whole idea of like, hey, we can be rich if we just take this thing back alive. But the way she turns on him, you can see like there's that scene where she's accusing him of shit, and he's like, what's she talking about? She's crazy.
God. Yeah, like, and gaslighting her.
But he has that like sweat on his upper lip. It's just like, you know, you were caught.
Yeah.
But knowing that, like, you know, this is the kind of guy, you push him in the corner like that, he's going to react. And yeah, the whole scene where he locks him in the room with the face huggers is that's one of the like creepiest parts in the movie, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's brutal. I have to say, back to where you're talking about the sweat.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I know this is like an obscure detail, but I just, I love that they were like almost consistently covered in sweat.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
you
yeah.
would be. Like you would be in this situation, you obviously would be fucking sweating all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that it just goes back to those like tiny important details that really just help convince the story. And it just, it's so important.
Well, we were pointing out there's all those little details. Like you could tell there's like so much care in all this shit because like that, yeah, the fact that they're like constantly sweaty and wet, and it just makes it feel like very lived in and real. And we were also noticing like as they were exploring, there'd be random like steam coming out or water coming down. It's like every shot, like every moment just feels like so well thought out. Yeah. It's part of what makes this such a classic, you know?
Yeah, they also just, they explore like atmosphere and like, I don't know. Everything just, there's so much life. Like,
yeah.
I want more of that.
Yeah, we didn't even bring up Newt.
Oh, I love Newt.
Yeah, and that was like such a smart addition because it's easy to get annoyed to have this like little character who has to be like protected. But you can see Ripley really like kind of come out of the shell and now she has like something to protect.
Yeah.
And so that it works really well in the story too.
Oh yeah, it totally connects. It doesn't feel forced at all. It all makes sense. It's just, I love it.
And yeah, leading up to the end, because again, I've always talked about how I'm like so anti-lore, and it honestly applies to this shit too, because I think
what
I mean, not in this movie. I'm actually gonna praise this movie.
Okay.
But like I said, there's been a billion of these fucking movies, so it's like they're just digging out every little detail they can find. And this one does such a good job of taking a setting that you're already pretty familiar with, because it's the same planet that they found the eggs on. And the biggest lore we get is the idea that there is this alien queen, which like the big reveal for that, it's the perfect ending for a movie that's more focused on being like big and action focused. It's like, oh, there's this giant fucking alien like deep in the nest laying the eggs.
Yeah.
And the way that they behave, like this ant colony where they're just capturing people, taking them back to the nest so they can reproduce, which is also just fucking scary as hell.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I mean, it's like that wasp, you know, that wasp that will like take bugs and put them in its nest and lay eggs inside of it, so when they hatch they eat the, have you heard of these?
No.
Yeah.
What?
I think it's called like
horrifying.
They're called like mud daubers or something. It's like the alien version of that, you know. Oh, like God. The life-size version. Like those little bits of lore, it's like it adds more to the whole like life cycle of these things and explains them without going too far into their origins and everything. Like I like that. Like it works. It's just enough.
Yeah, and I do have to say the final boss fight being queen v queen here.
Oh yeah.
I'm a huge fan. The way that the alien queen like rips off her egg sac, she's like, "All right."
Oh, yeah. She's like, "Get the fuck off, time to get some shit done." But even like when she's waiting for the elevator and you can hear the alien coming, and the alien uses the fucking elevator to go up, it's like, damn. She's like, and even like it is funny the way they humanize it and build it up for that encounter, because like there's also the when she's threatening the eggs with the flamethrower and the queen kind of looks at the other aliens and they back off all slowly, like like she's telling them, like, "All right, let's chill for a minute here." But I there is that like ultra iconic. Have you heard that line before when she first comes out in the power loader? Like, "Get away from her, you bitch."
Oh.
What's so funny is that is super iconic. And when the door opens and she comes out in the power loader, I had this huge smile on my face because I was just like waiting for that moment. And
that
I
think, is so cool.
Yeah, it's so badass.
Yeah, that moment really did kind of like take my breath away, because like I said, like we were talking about before, like the Chekhov's gun situation, I was not expecting it. I was not expecting her to like fight in this suit.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't occur to me. And the payoff is insane because it's so cool.
It's such a cool showdown. And it's funny because it mirrors the first movie in these interesting ways, especially toward the end, because you have the facilities blowing up and it's the voice saying, like, "You have 15 minutes and blah, blah, blah." It's like exactly like the first movie. She blasted out into space just like in the first movie. So it's like it's treading that same ground, but it still works really well, and it feels like it's dialed up to 11, you know, because it's a giant fucking alien getting shot out, and while the place is getting ready to explode, there's like the gouts of fire everywhere, and she's getting picked up by a ship and all this stuff. Yeah, it's just a cool fucking movie.
Oh yeah, when the android gets like ripped in half and
Yeah, that
has like
shit's
his
so
little
brutal.
noodles hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
so
and his little
cool.
torso grabs Newt and holds on to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like it's funny because the only thing, like, if I had to say like a complaint I have seeing it now, and it's not even something I would really complain about, it's that this movie definitely, since you have like so many of these fucking aliens and they're just getting blasted left and right, it's like you're seeing them out in the open more, and it makes it like clearer that it's like, yeah, it's dudes in suits at the end of the day, you know, and there's something that's lost from the first movie where everything's kind of in the dark and it's a lot scarier. Like they aren't as scary when they're just getting shot to pieces constantly.
I guess I have to say, this still like feels like very ranked high in my mind because the attention to detail with the, you know, we're back to seeing the alien's face again, but in such a bigger way, and like the teeth are like clear and like there's like all this goo, and I think it looks so cool.
Yeah, it's the thing is what I was saying though is like I could look at that in a kind of objective way as being like a step down, but it just works within the tone of everything else in the movie that it's kind of like, fuck yeah, I'm along for a ride anyway. Like it's all good.
Yeah, and the matte paintings are like incredibly beautiful. Like obviously it's not like real, you know, like I guess if like most movies, most sci-fi movies like this are trying to attain some sort of reality, but like I feel like it kind of surpasses that in a way just because like there's so much beautiful craftsmanship. So
Yeah, it's great. I'd still, you know, I said Alien was a perfect movie. I think this one's like pretty much right up there too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it's more that the tone of the first one works more for me now, but it's still like just such a fucking fantastic movie.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there.
Yeah. And I'm interested. We're gonna do the third movie at some point in the future. I really want to revisit that one because it does the same thing where it picks up like right afterwards, but it's a very different movie. And that one, it's like an early Fincher movie.
Okay.
But it's one that like it's an example of when it came out, people were like very disappointed because it's very different. But I think it's having this like new wave of appreciation now. So I'm very excited to go back to that one. I think more than anything. But I don't have anything else. Do you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod and follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank these movies. Currently, Alien is number one. So we had to kind of compromise putting Alien in front of Cat People. I think this should be in the number three spot right under Cat People. What do you think?
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Easy peasy. And that puts it above It Follows, number three on our list. And you can message us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Yeah, hopefully Alien Romulus lives up to the hype. I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah.
But that's it. Bye.